I want to talk for a few minutes about the blessing, actually, that I prayed, a famous blessing. But first, I want to think about getting what we need. So what are some things that we need that we have to get from other people? Help me out with that. What are some things that we need them, but we've got to get them from somebody else? Relationships. You can't have a relationship on your own, can you? So to have a relationship, we need to get that from somebody. Good. What else do we need to get from others? Yes. Knowledge, certainly. So we need to learn from others, and other people have knowledge we need. Good. What else might we need to get from other people? Goods and services. Yeah, we need things to be taken care of, to be fixed, to repaired, so many things that other people have. Let me go on to this question. How do we get those things? When other people have things that I need, what might I do to get those things? I could pay for them. Relationships don't work quite as well when we do it by pay, but many things we get them by paying for them, right? What are other ways we might get things from other people? Bargain. We say, okay, you need something, I need something, let's exchange something. And a lot of relationships do grow this way, right? You can do something, I can do something, and a relationship develops. Great, what are other ways we might get things from people who have what we need? We could ask. Yeah, a great idea. We say, could I have some of that? Yeah. How else might we do it if asking doesn't work? What was that? Thank you, Zach. Yeah, so all sorts of different strategies, right? We say, people have things that we want. What do we do to get them? Now, I want to think for a few minutes about God having things that we need. And so for a second, help me out with this. What do we need from God? What is it that we need that God has? Forgiveness. Excellent. We need that from God. What else might we need from God? Peace of mind, yes. And we need that from God. What else do we need from God? Yeah. Wisdom. Yeah, definitely. What else might we need from God? Yeah. Life itself. Yeah. The most important things that we need in life, God has, and we need them. What might we do to get these things from God? We might ask. Yeah. What else might we do if it seems like asking isn't getting us there? Obey. Certainly. We say, okay, I'll try to do what you've said. What else might we do? Sure, read his word. What else might we do?
Some people try to make a deal.
Sure. We say, God, I really want this, and if you give it to me, then I've got something I'll give you. Right? And we make these deals with God as though he wants what I have. But that doesn't cloud the issue for us. Often we just say, yeah, let me make a deal. Sometimes we beg. We just say, if I ask long enough, you'll have to do it. Or if I do enough religious things, then you're going to have to do it for me. I want to think for a little bit this morning about what God's plan is for giving us what is good. And there are many things that many of us realize we need of God's goodness today. And so let's ask him both to teach us and to give us that goodness. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, what matters most to us, we can only find in you. And so I pray that you would teach us today, and I pray that you would bless us today. So we ask in faith. I pray that you'd do your work in our hearts. Help us to know you better because of your word, and help us to have confidence in your grace and your goodness because of it. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. You'll want to have a Bible. We're looking at number 6 today. So we're taking a break from our walk through Acts together. And we'll come back to that a little bit. But I want to look at this very famous passage today and a couple of things we'll do in the next couple of weeks. Numbers, back in the Old Testament, the first 5 books of the Old Testament, sometimes called the Pentateuch or the Torah, in Numbers. And then we'll talk a bit about these drawings in a couple of minutes. To set the background, from a Hebrew perspective, let me first say this about about blessing and how blessing is given and lost. And in creation, we're taught that God created Adam and Eve, the first humans, and here's what God did when he created them. God blessed them. God's first step was to say, here's a blessing, and then often we read what comes afterwards as a command, and I think it is, but before it's a command, it's a blessing. God said, be fruitful. Be fruitful and multiply, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. This is the blessing of God that says, have offspring, fill this place. And it was a blessing of God and also the command of God. He said, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. When God created, he blessed. He says, this is my blessing. This is my place where I want you to enjoy the blessing. The sad thing is that then we have the effects of sin, of disobeying God. So I want to jump ahead to the second clearly recorded sin of Cain killing his brother. When Cain killed his brother, God sent him away. And Cain says this. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. God had said, you can't stay in this Garden of Eden. And Cain says, I can't bear this. You've sent me away from the land, from this place of blessing, and you've hidden your presence, which in Hebrew is the same word as face. You don't let me see you anymore. And because of that, the two things, he says, I'm going to be a restless wanderer, no home, and no protection. Whoever finds me will kill me. And so this is God's intention to bless, but then sin cut people off from that blessing. Now, when we look at the setting for Numbers in the passage we look at today, we see the people trying to enter the promised land. Cain said, you cut me off from the land, the place of blessing. This is now looking at the people of Israel about to step into the promised land. And they expected that you need to be in the place to get the blessing. We need to go to this land in order to be blessed. And they were used to this idea that the gods have what I need, but they're not very generous. So the gods demand all sorts of things. I've got to give them gifts and sacrifices, and I've got to beg them, and maybe if I'm a special person, they'll give me something. I have to do a whole lot of religious things. In general, the people that they lived among believed you have to be in the right place, and you have to somehow convince the gods to give up what they have. Like having somebody who's very stingy, who doesn't like to give things, but they have what I want. Now I have to trick them. I have to do whatever I can to get it from them. And so now we have God's instructions through Moses to the people. And this is God's plan to get his blessing. So let's look at this together. It's just six verses. Number six, the heading that I have is the priestly blessing. So number 6:22. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them. And let's stop there for a second. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you're to do it. This is how the blessing is going to work. So God gives instructions through Moses for the blessing to the people. God says, here's what you're supposed to do. And I love it that this is God's initiative, right? God takes the initiative and says, here's the way to be blessed. Because way back at creation, God said, here's my plan to bless everybody. They've stepped away from that, but he says, I want to give the instructions. Here's how I want you to be blessed. And Moses was a prophet for God. Moses would speak to the people for God. So God said, Moses, here's what you're to say, my word. But who's Moses supposed to speak to? To Aaron and his sons, right? To Aaron and his sons, and they were priests. And the priest's job is to seek God's favor for the people. The prophet says, here's what God says. The priest says, I need to figure out how to bring the blessing of God to these people. And so, what is the instruction? What are we told? Here's what they are to say. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Here's the instruction. He says, here are the words to say. Right? This is the blessing of what is to come. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned, before that they were going to be blessed. But when they sinned, what they received was a curse. And a central part of that curse was to be cut off from the presence of God. And this blessing is the opposite of that. It's saying God's presence, his face, is to be with you. It is to bring people back to this relationship with God. Central to this is the statement, I want God to be gracious to you, right? To show favor, to be generous, to rescue you. I love this statement from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Have mercy is the same word as be gracious to them. God, be merciful, be kind. God, overlook their sin, forgive them, protect them, care for them. This statement, be gracious to them. The blessing is, God, look their way and be gracious. Have mercy on these people. And then we're told, look their way and give them peace. And the word peace in Hebrew is this wonderful word, shalom, that speaks about peace as the absence of conflict, but far more. It's health and wholeness of mind and soul and body and relationships. And essentially everything that we find that isn't right in life, we can look at as being the absence of peace in one of these areas. Because the peace that God wants for us is the richness in all aspects of life. And the request, the blessing is, God, look their way, be gracious to them, and give them peace. So here it is actually in Hebrew. So in Hebrew, we go from right to left. And these are the three lines. And one of the things that I want to highlight is just the words here that are in blue. This is God's name. God's name is repeated throughout. And this is wonderful poetry in a way that's different from our kind of poetry, but three words, then five words, then seven words. And if we break it down in a similar way into English, you see it all includes Yahweh, the personal God of Israel, acting. And every one of these statements has two requests. The first is the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And this idea of God looking and seeing, and when he looks and he sees, he is gracious and he gives peace. So central to this blessing is grace and peace in the name and the presence of the Lord. Grace and peace in the name and the presence of the Lord. That's the blessing of God. And as we read the New Testament, we see that the view of the Lord is Jesus. In the New Testament, the Lord is Jesus Christ. And so I find this fascinating. The Apostle Paul was clearly shaped by this prayer. Some people have said this blessing in the Old Testament is the equivalent of the Lord's Prayer of the New Testament. In the Old Testament, this is what you repeat. This is seeking God's presence and his work. In the New Testament, it was the Lord's Prayer. The Apostle Paul was deeply shaped by this. So what does Paul say when he starts the book of Romans? Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from Lord Jesus Christ. Right? He says, grace and peace in the name of the Lord, of the Father and the Son. So then he gets to 1 Corinthians, grace and peace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. He writes another letter to them, grace and peace to you from the Lord, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Does the same in Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians. He changes it a little bit. He gets to the church in Thessalonica and he simplifies it a little bit. Then he goes back to the full. You see the pattern, right? This shapes his thinking. How will I bless people? Right? So when we say to each other in the context we're in right now, how are you doing? These are usually throwaway words. I'm not actually asking for information. I'm supposed to say something, and so I'll say, how are you doing? And you say, fine, how are you? And I'll say, fine, and then we go on. These were not throwaway words to Paul. This was a declaration of the blessing of God for these people using the blessing of the priests in the Old Testament. Grace and peace to you in the name and the presence of God. This is the blessing that is offered to the people. And what happens when that blessing is given? Verse 27. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. You'll put my name on the Israelites, and I, and in Hebrew, the I is emphasized. So it's really saying, I myself will bless them. Right, so this is the rationale. Why does this work? Well, God says, my covenant name, Yahweh, will be on these people. My covenant name will be on them, And that's where blessing is. God blesses those who are in relationship with him. He blesses those who are in relationship. And so he says, when you put my name on them, it's not just writing it on their back or their forehead or something. They're identified with him, right? These are his people, right? And so in a similar way, when somebody becomes a Christian, it's not a label we take on. It's Jesus' name on us saying this is a relationship between him and us, right? We become family. This is a relational connection, and that's where the blessing takes place. So to be a Christ one is to be in relationship with Jesus, and in that to receive his blessing. Now, I find it fascinating. God spoke to Moses. To whom did Moses speak? To Aaron and his sons. And then what did they do? They spoke to the people. Sometimes it can feel a little distant. Then we read about Aaron speaking to the people, right? So it feels a little bit distant, but God says this: when you do that, I myself will bless them. I might not be the one saying the words there, God says, but when you bless the people, I will do it. My name will be on them, I'll be in relationship, and I myself will bless the people. God takes action through the words of those who do as he says. The idea in this, clearly true blessing is only found in relationship with God and Christ. That's where true blessing is. And it's not found anywhere else. He says, here's my name. This name I've made known to you is where the blessing is. And it is certainly found there. Right? True blessing is only found and is certainly found in relationship with God and Christ. Okay, so let's start with the drawing down to the right. What do you notice in there? Help me out with that. What's the man doing? Mining for gold, it looks like. Yeah, how much gold does it look like there is? Not very much gold down there. It looks like a big pile of dirt he's been through in the dark working away at this, right? Sometimes I look at blessing as a diligent search for rare gold. I want God to be present. I want him to do something, but there's not a whole lot there. But if you're really good, if you work really hard, you might find some. Right? Sometimes I read the Bible that way. I'm sorry to say it. Sometimes I read and I think, well, if I just do a quick read, there's not really much there. But if I work really hard at it, I might find something. Right? That's one view of God. Or, what do you notice about the other picture? What's happening in that one? How's this plant doing? Plant's growing really well, right? Why is the plant growing well? Yeah, it's got lots of sun and lots of rain, right? It's a picture of the overflowing goodness of a generous God who is eager to give through his son. You don't have to go searching for sunlight. Well, in the winter in Michigan, you might feel like it, but you don't have to go searching for sunlight. It is there in abundance. All you have to do is step into it, right? And very significant for the people in Israel who went from Egypt, where the river was always there, to a place where the rivers all dried up if God didn't provide. And so how important rain was to the people. When God rains his blessing, he says, this is what God is like. He is a generous God who is eager to give blessing to his people through his son. When I think of this, if this is what God is like, then what do we do? Well, the most central thing that comes out of this is be in relationship with God through Christ. Right? God made us for blessing, in relationship with him. That was his intention from the beginning. He didn't say, I'll bless a few people a little bit if they're really good and work really hard. He said, no, like the sun and the rain, I want it everywhere. I want people to experience this blessing. The problem is sin. That sin separates us from God and from his blessing. And the sin of immorality is obvious, right? We say, I know I shouldn't do this, but I do it. The sin of disloyalty is less obvious, but to some of us, it's so obvious, it's so real, that when we say, God, you're my God, but, you know, I'd kind of like to go over here and follow this God for a little bit, but I'll be back, don't worry about it. What a shameful thing, right, to be disloyal to God. But this last one is the one that sometimes I struggle with the most, and that is the sin of independence. I look at people and I say, they're really good people. They don't worship God, but they're so good, how could God be upset with them? So think of my relationship with Karen, my wife of 31 years. That's right. Okay, good. What if I live a really good life independent from her? This is awful, right? I say I live a really good life, but I can't keep up with her, and I, you know, so we don't have time. And this would be a terrible thing, right? This is a horrible marriage. Many times I see people, and I think they're such good people, how could there be a problem? Well, they're designed for relationship with God. And if they say, no, I'm fine, God, you do your thing, I'll do mine, this is a horrible offense, right? It is like separating without leaving in a marriage. And sin separates us, it breaks the relationship, right? The horrible problem. And this is where we have Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection is the only way back, the only way to restore this. And the statement that we had read for us this morning, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When we are in Christ, every blessing is ours. And so the statement from Paul is amazing. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He loves to give his blessings. And he says, in Christ, it's all yours. My blessings are abundantly given, not reserved for the few people who are really good Christians, for the people who every day start the day in wonderful times of prayer and the word and then step out and meet the needs of the poor. And they're just great people. And those are the ones God blesses. Those are good things. But God blesses those who are in relationship with him, not because they're good, but because they're his. Right? Every spiritual blessing is ours. And so this statement adjusted a little bit from Ephesians 2. As for us, we were dead. We were separated from God in our sin. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive, put us in relationship with God again, with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. This is not from ourselves. It is not earned. It is the gift of God. God loves to bless, and he does that in Jesus Christ. And so then what do? We should seek the blessing of God in Christ. And I find this statement very challenging. Jesus said about people, they loved praise, human praise, more than praise from God. It is a little bit like in a marriage that says, well, I know my wife loves me, but I want somebody else to love me. I want the people at work to love me. And saying, that doesn't matter, your love, because I want somebody else to love me. Jesus says, how are people going to know God if what they really want is the blessing of people? We need to seek the blessing of God. And so I love this story about Jacob. Jacob, who became known as Israel. One night he wrestled with God, and it's a lot of mysterious in the story, but there was a human being, perhaps an angel, perhaps in some sense God himself, and he wrestled with him, and God blessed him. In the midst of this wrestling, here's what Jacob said. I won't let go of you until you bless me. And he was blessed, and God honored him for that. And to say, God, I want your blessing. I want it far more than I want the blessings of anything else. The praise of people, what people have to give. I want your blessing more than anything else. And so I wonder, how might I wrestle with God in pursuit of his blessing? Now I want to say this. I don't have to convince him to bless me. He already wants to do that desperately. I don't have to try to convince him to do it. Rather, I've got to express the conviction that true blessing is found nowhere else. Yet I tend to wander and think, oh, there's another blessing, I'd like that one. There's another blessing, and I wander away. What does it mean to wrestle to say, the blessing that matters to me is the blessing of God, far more than anything else? We need to seek the blessing of God in Christ. And we've got to seek the blessing. So often what I pray for, what I want, is things or ease or success or pleasure or all these other things. And often God gives those things, right? He often gives those things. And yet whether or not he does that, he gives the more important blessing, and that's himself. So I love the statement that was made about the Old Testament people. God says, I will walk among you and be your God, and you'll be my people. He says, the real blessing I want for you is relationship. And in that relationship, if there's stuff, great. If there's not, that's okay, because the relationship is with God, and that's his blessing. And so the psalmist says, you are my Lord. Apart from you, there is nothing that's good. I want the blessing of you. I want the blessing of relationship with you. And in that, all the rest will work out. And in fact, all the rest will eventually be amazing and beyond my wildest dreams. I want the relationship with God, the God who is rich in blessing. And we are to bring the blessing of God to others. And so in the Old Testament, it was the priests who brought God's blessing to people. That's who did this. That's what the priest did. In the New Testament, every Christian is a priest. He says, I have a kingdom of priests. And I want this kingdom of priests to go around and bring the blessing of God. So every one of us is to bring the blessing of God to others. How do we do it? We pray. And what we ought to be praying for each other is God's presence and grace and peace. And the reality is that sometimes the first steps could be worse. And this is the courage to say, God, I want your blessing and your peace. I want your grace for these people. And to know that the first steps might not be easy ones. And yet I trust God to say what he's really doing is building relationship. And very often, relationship comes through hardship. And so we trust God and say, God, what we want is relationship. We bless people with that. Will you do that? We say, God, bless them with your grace and your peace. We need to speak truth to people. This is evangelism. This is discipleship, saying the real blessing we want is in God. It's relationship with him. And we want to live and lead in ways that are his. We want to live God's ways because they are blessing-giving ways. They're blessed ways. And in reality, to do anything else is to take away that blessing. It's to step into a curse. We are to bring the blessing of God to people. As God's priests wandering around wherever we go in our lives, to say, God, I want to bring your blessing to people. I want to pray that you would turn your face to them, that you would be gracious to them and give them peace. Because true blessing is only found and is certainly found in relationship with God and Christ. Blessing us in his name is God's idea. It's not like some people said, here's how we can get more stuff from God. God's already wanting to give us everything that's good. It's his idea. It's his initiative. And it's his pleasure to bless us in him. God is an abundantly generous God who says, I want to give. And I want to give myself first of all. So how do we get the blessing of God? It's we seek to know God in Christ because it's relationship. And then we ask him. And we trust him, and we obey him, and say, only in you am I going to find the blessing I really want. And you've already given it to me, so I rejoice. And if you give me some other things along the way, that's fantastic. If you take them away, that's okay, because he says, I promised you myself. So I end with the blessing of God. And let's say it together, if we could. And let's say it with the reality of the power of the name of God to bring blessing on his people. So let's read these words together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So you will put God's name on his people and he himself will bless them. Let's receive the blessing of God. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are an amazingly generous God. And you give us what is more valuable than anything else, yourself, and you invite us into relationship through your son, Jesus. Your blessing is not stuff. It's not good ideas. It's not a better way to live. Those are there, but the real blessing, Father, is you. So we thank you for that. We rejoice in it. Father, we ask in our lives and through us that you would turn your face toward us, be gracious to us, that you would turn to see us, you would shine upon us, and give us your peace. We thank you, Father, for your goodness, for your care. We thank you for this amazing grace. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.